Pretty tough life. Like it or not, but that's the way I guess I was. Like 39 right up to probably 38, yeah. So I remember in 1937 we've been out to Fort Babine, go across the trail here to Fort Babine in June. They have a 10th of June sport day over there. We had the brass band that time. They called us out to play band for them in the sport day. So we went out there and we played baseball too at the same time. Some of the boys there, cowboys, they rock, steer, wild horses, and stampede. Rodeo at the same time. And I remember that time that I was pretty weak. Just, what the heck make me weak? Beginning of that, the sickness I got hold of in the lung, that was my after I came back from there, I went to see doctor. I was on my way to see a movie on Saturday night. Doctor Whiting. He took x-ray of me before that. On my way back I dropped in on him at the hospital. He said, you want to go to the movie or you want to stay in hospital right now? I thought about that. I knew that people contact the TB in those days, they usually die. She told me, oh, we got you checked in the early stages, just a little less than a dime size spot in your lung. If we start treatment right now, you'll get over it. Go down as a young man, you know, it's hard thing to do to stay in the hospital. Thought about it, sitting there, go to a movie right now or stay and get better. I choose to get better, stayed in right there. In there 3 months I've a bit patient. Then they discharged me and I stayed home about 4 years treatment from home. Everybody do a little work to make money, but I was staying home. This sickness, the only cure for it is rest. So I didn't work for at least about 4 years. Staying home, go for treatment every week down the hospital. Oh, that's a hard life.
Cindy! I'm coming!
People all thought that I was lazy because I wasn't working. Then doctors told me one day, just got one more treatment to go, you, that's all. So said. Right then, the Smithers Airport, they start hiring out men. The Smithers, they're going to build a big airport. Then I start thinking again. Just one more treatment, I have to stick around for 1 month. Miss out on that job up there. We just swear. 60 cents an hour. Oh, that's high wages in her job. 60 cents an hour. I want in on that. I keep thinking one more treatment. I guess I'll make it out all right. So I jumped the train. 3 o'clock morning train to Smithers. I had to wait for 1 week before they started. The Chinaman there gave me room and board until the work started. I got on with Johnson Construction. All kinds of construction outfit in on that building at the airport. Start working there. One more treatment, I skipped. Tired of laying around. Benefit of laying around is that here and talking right now. People can make mistakes, they say that I'm lazy. Well, since then I work with just one lung and I didn't know that. I fight fires up there, poke fire. Spilks Valley on time. Pack bunch of tools on my shoulder, straight up hill. Mount D, I get puffed up easy. Because I have one lung. Put up with that all my working days. Working sawmills, working with horses, team. The bush. Sometimes the mud was right up above my knee. The mountain, foot of the mountains, skipping a big team of horses. Up Red Rose, the other side of Rosh Dubol, that's where the hardest time I had, the mud skidding. Logs. Then up there, Willem's camp, 9 miles from Tuma. Springtime I had. That hill goes straight up like that. Got one big horse up there. They build a chute like this down the hillside. Up there on the bench, that's where I was getting to that chute, top of the chute. Put the logs there and use my peavey to push it down. It shuts down and builds up. Stripping season in May. Coming down those hills toward the chute, sloping. With spruce, didn't have a hard time. But with balsam, soft barks on them. As soon as you start off with it, the whole darn bark slip right off. Just like greased, it hits the big horse feet like that. slides. So I had to turn the horse around, having him back up. I think I had a lot of fun, tiresome. Did lots of work in my lifetime. With just one lung. After all these years, you got that done. After my heart, doing my heart surgery, at the same time they went and started my lung working again. That was too much. That's two operations at one time. In addition to heart surgery, they moved to my lung and fixed that one up. They use a vacuum to clean it all off. All those years, it must have collected all that sputum and things on it, just in case it. And they use the vacuum to clean it all off. And today, Turkey had a hose in there. Margaret seen, I didn't. I woke up 3 weeks after operation.
Is that right?
Yeah. I didn't know nothing for 3 weeks. I died twice. They used electric shock to bring me back to life. Margaret tells me. And I have a hard time now with this numb lake sort of here, his hand, my head and eye at his side, and see my eye at his side. The pain does that, a kind of streaking pain. That's caused by a severe nerve. Only time heals that. Doctor can do nothing with it. But my heart is okay. So the others caused by nerve. Oh, I'm okay.
Did you ever go commercial fishing down Prince Rupert?
Hey?
Did you ever go commercial fishing down Prince Rupert?
Yeah, with Margaret and I are down there. Like everything else, the fish are cheap the time we went down. We just make a living, that's all. Every year, the big commercial fishers go down there. They come back with so many $1,000 in a hole, they call it. So many $1,000 unpaid bill they leave behind to work for next fishing season. But Margaret and I, we were just new to that. And Margaret was working in the filling cans in the cannery across from the CN tracks now. There used to be two canneries across the ocean on the other side. One was Claxton, one was one I worked in. I forgot the name of it. Anyway, we worked there. We had a lot of fun. At the end of the season, they had $35 in the hole. So we must have done good. Well, the how does he get so many $1,000 in a hole? They had to pay our way back, fare on the train. We had a lot of fun, commercial fishing. But for that, I didn't go back, try it again. I should have stuck with it to make sure I didn't. I got a better job working on a sawmill. Worked on lots of sawmills in my time. Smithers, Gordon Jewell Sawmill. Chapman Sawmills and between Smithers and Telco. And then in Evelyn, Gordon Chapman Sawmill. Work train as a pitman, they call that job. Ditcher train. Used to travel the terrace in springtime, like this, right around June. I remember it now, it must be in June because wild strawberries are ripe. Ditcher was loading gravels for delivery somewhere else. And as a pitman, we didn't have nothing to do, just our hours counting up. 17, 18 hours a day. The wages are not that high, there's 35 an hour. 35 cents an hour. All I did is fill myself up with wild strawberries out of a ditcher loading gravel. There's in tears. But unloading rails was hard work. We unload 5 miles of rails, pauling that deer too, from this side of Brunswick. Little tongs you can put on the rail. Like loading cedar pole. Climbed the tongue on the rail. Two of us stand on each side of the rail. Steady. And lift. Put it out on the edge of the track. One guy, he was setting tongue up there. Shorties, they call him Swede. I guess he didn't clamp that tongs on the right one side. And one side got caught good. He just flipped that rail over on the edge. That edge cut off his toes right here.
Is that right?
Old Buck took him in a caboose trip to Brunswick Hospital. And then Wasout came in Terrace. So ran down there. That's hard work for us. Big rocks up, big. We put cable around, hook it on, and the ditcher put it up on the car, fill the car up, and take it to the Wasout. Dump it down there, the Wasout. Yeah, lots of work I did in my life. Lots of other work. I can skip some of it.
What about in Hazleton? like down here to have a good time fishing down here at the canyons and making fish for the summer or winter?
Oh, yeah. It was, I guess you could call that a way of life. You can't sit around and just fish running. You've got to put it up for the winter. Happy doing it, the more fish will put up. Better for everybody in the winter time. If there's always some surplus of fish, dried fish, that my mother trades or sells to the commercial fishery people when they come in after they finish down coast, come back around October. And people always comes to my mother for dried salmon. They give her fish eggs, dried fish eggs, herring eggs, dried oligans. Treat her for that. Some use the cash money to buy 500 dry salmon. Mentioned to the thousands of dry salmon at that time. And yet the next year the same amount of fish comes. Never run out. At the peak run of fish in the river down here in the narrowest part of that canyon, you could see the back of them fish.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So many.
Some of them, they used to say, there's so many fish down there that you could walk across the river on their back. That's only to say, fish wouldn't stay there or use them for bread. But that's the way it was down the canyon. In the Jack Spring. Oh, I wouldn't mind having a little Jack Spring that big. Little springs are. Lots of them they use it. They're made out. In the older days they used to do nothing but gaffing. Feel around. Put the gaff straight down with a hook like that. Just feel around. You feel a fish, you could feel it in kind of soft thud like. Feel a fish and you go like that with your hook. Yeah, quite a skill. As soon as you feel a fish like that, you pull it up. You catch fish in your hook. Sometimes a big spring salmon. When you touch a spring salmon, you could feel it if it's spring because it's kind of hard. But when a sockeye salmon is only that big, kind of light touch that. But if it's a big spring, solid, heavy. Oh, hard to pull a big spring salmon. They have a kind of holes down the river, like these boulders, see?
Mm-hmm.
All over down. They have kind of place where they lay. They're taking rest to go up the river. And That's where we catch them. Those little holes there. You take one out and you go down again, another one. They go up in the school, okay? Bunch of them come up, go up. That's why when they're running good, you catch them, draw them up, another one. Then, all of a sudden, nothing. Keep doing that for 5-10 minutes, nothing. So I go up, sit down, have a smoke, sitting around, waiting for this fist to fill up the hole again. They get scared, you know. And stick moving around there all the time. They move away. But another bunch goes in. That's how the gaffing is done. And later on we got the... You see the fish going up the falls, not like Morristown Falls, but just like about up there, it's about 8 feet, and slanting like that. The fish jump up. Sometimes they just about jump on top, and then they fall back down, wash back. But the place close to the rock there, like this, the river right here. Fall. We stand right up here. You could see the fish when it's running. You could see it just below the surface. You could see their back streaming up that falls there on the shallow water. Well, somebody got an idea, they built a wire mesh fish net, I could call it dip net. Now that used to make quite a few of them, make out of wire, chicken wire fence about that long, inside about that big, around. Heavy wire from that. Put it right down where we see the fish streaming up on the shallow side of the river on the edge. Put it right in their track. They just jump in like that. Tail to tail, them things going up the river. We catch four of them in about a second.
Is that right?
Yeah. We throw it up like that, and the guy standing there, his fist is just jumping around. He hit him over the head with a stick. By that time, we got another one. Guy, just keep on going. That's when the fish is running. A good run. Couple of days. Two or three runs a season, I think. I forgot how many runs. That's when a big crowd of fish comes up the river from the coast. Like the day we would hear it. They're catching lots of fish and skin crossing in Kitchikuka. That means that they'll be here in 2 or 3 days. By that time everybody getting ready here. Sharpening gaff hooks, gaff poles, all getting ready. fixing dip nets, putting the horses in field. By the time they hit our cannon, we're ready for them to start our fishing for winter. Everybody packing shit. Smokehouses all ready. Wood. Yes. when they stopped up.
So warm.
Charlie Willem had horse. Even Joseph had a horse. The Georges had horse. Dominic's. Most of them didn't have any. They used their back. Pack it up. Pack board. People were strong and healthy.
Oh, very
well done. So I used horses, pack horses. Sometimes the horses are out on the range. That's when we use pack horses. Those are the good old days of fishing down.
I'm
trying
to find this. You said your mother and father knew the settlers around here. Could you name some of the settlers that they knew that first came around the Hazel?
I didn't hear you that time.
Name the first settlers that came to Hazelton. Your mother and father knew them? Did they know them? Did you name them?
Oh, the first settler.
Yeah.
All I know is that Spooner is back here. And at the time, we had the fish commissioner, they call him, Joe Allen. He was down there. Just write down how many fish you make in the smokehouse. Things like that, these four, that's all. Count the fish. He never restrict how much you can catch or anything. Just count, keep track of the counting. But as far as the settlers, there were lots of them, white people at that time. Like now you hear somebody moving in. Smithers, welcome, like, and all that, they got their newspaper. In the old days, things like that. No such thing as welcome, like. But we hear new people coming in. Right. A lot of them, I think, settlers came in with the railroad, when the railroad was going by. A lot of business set up. I read Okramawi. Frontier Days magazine one time. I read of Good Acre. I was working as a young man at a 20-mile house up here past Beeman. I knew that old log building, big log building there. Mighty. That was the building they're talking about, the roadhouse. Good Acre worked there. They go ahead of the railroad crew building railroad and they build houses for business. Serving a hotel room, board. Oh, and old Scotty McCree. Scotty McCree died long ago. Good Acre is still up. Now he owns Good Acre Super Value in Smithers.
Is that right?
His brothers and sons. They're the early frontier
right?
Guys. That people are pretty smart. They know how to make money. Well, since then, I think technology is pretty well advanced too these days. Education, people got a lot of advanced education to make a goal. Life in this time, you can't go to a sawmill to get a job like I did in the old days. Or go to construction. You've got to have education for everything these days. I could go haying time, farmers start putting up hay for their farm. Used to go there with a pitchfork to get a job, make a few dollars. Now it's all machinery. Fires don't hire you for putting up their hay now. All machinery. Carpenter, the same thing. Used to go out pine cone picking. Somebody wants to in the forestry once. No, that is done by machine too. Helicopter. Person like myself. No chance. The only chance I hope for is 6:49 win.
Everybody does.
Yeah. Anyway, life is beautiful, no matter how I live it. The way I look. Person gets sick and gotta be very patient to get better. If you're impatient, you go right out again and get more sick, and your life will be ended. Be patient and you feel sick. I went through a lot this last time. I'm still going through it. I can't walk straight. All of a sudden, you're like that.
Not too bad in here.
None that's in the head. That's what they call it up there. And there's a blood clot. Some places, small little veins. What goes through the heartbeat. I quit breathing twice. What vessel stopped? That's why I'm like that. Can't walk straight. No strength in the leg. If I'm going to live with it, my last I hope I get better in a couple more months in my walking. Otherwise I'll be crawling around and I get a little bit older if I keep hanging on. I'll be 67 in October 24th. I'll have a few more years of life. Looking back, I had a pretty good life. I enjoyed working. Nothing to show for it. Some memories that I recall sometimes. Riding around on horseback, not Babine Trail, somewhere around May and June, riding on mountainside, looking at the scenery full of green leaves and grasses for the horses, and up on a mountain range of Babine, we used to do some prospecting, shooting at groundhogs and ptarmigans. Oh, then we could soup them ptarmigans. Better than any darn chicken in the world. Blue grouse. All it takes is rice and bacon. Butter. Lots of meat out there and travel from the horses out there. Out on the mountain trail. What a grouse. And when you get up to the Rockies, there's a whole army of ptarmigans. They blend with the rocks, can't see them very much. Just the movement they make, that's how you spot them. They're just like pigeons, bigger. The moose hunting is the same. In the fall time, we used to go out, catch our horses, chase them back from South Hazleton, ranging all over. We have bells on them, so in the summertime they sleep during the day and buggers, hard to find. And they just walk around looking at their tracks and all of a sudden we could hear it. Dong, 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 dong. They're shaking their head. A lot of mosquitoes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They shake their head and the bell rings and we hear that. We chased them back here and corralled them. Cuts them, then they go out. Fall time, we go out hunting a 24 mile Babin trail. We ride on horseback, tall grass now, we gotta ride on horseback to spot a moose. On the side hills, wilderness. Shoot them from the horseback. And horses are trained. Shoot on top of them. One of them, my white horse, is not trained for that. I didn't tell Peter William, loan him that mare. Me and Brit, me and Herb Wilson, I think he left. They left us by the creek there to cook. Oh, bunch of young folks went up the side hills to hunt moose. They left to watch the camp and cook evening meal. Oh, Stanley George, yeah, Stanley George, and I left at the camp. Stanley still remembers and makes fun of me. The cast iron pot there, washing out the sand. We're going to make it the best steamed rice. Rice in there for clean it up, put on campfire. And I forgot to put the lid on it. Steam rice is making it turn out into something like a glue. Stanley still remembers. The young guy. Yeah, Peter, real mad when we got back from hunting the trip that day. Sitting on top of a white horse and rolling. Shot at a moose, and that's all we remember. The horse start bucking, throw him off. he was a pack horse, 24 mile, bring him bunches of meat. They canned them, canned them with vegetables in it. Turned out just like a store canned meatball. Margaret makes lots of it. She knows how to make them. They make them out. Put them in jars like fish. Mixed with beef fat. Sometimes pork fat. Mix it up with that. Can. Nice. Turn out. I like them better than canned meat and white man canneries. And they seal them tight. They're tight sealers. No contamination like the thing that came out of that Indian canning last year. What the heck? The Indians, they're not that stupid. but to seal their camp. It would be a waste of time. And if it's contaminated, then people can get sick of it and die. They do everything the right way as far as the canning is concerned. Indian people, they know, they're wise. Put some crazy people nowadays. You kind of got an idea of you got that stuff. They seal that can. Jarring. Sometimes they put meat or canned fish in there. Sometimes they put the jarring on there, slightly like that. Another guy over there tightens, really tightens. Sometimes I do it myself, tighten every one of them. Then when they cook, they tap the jar lid on top, ding, 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 ding. But the one that leaks, you can hear just a thudder. It's got a ring a little bit. That's talking like this because of the news last year. Contaminated canning. Put on news by the Department of Fishery workers. Making the Indians look bad. Crazy to do that. Indians eat contaminated cans. No Indians at all today. Buckley River down here is condemned. Fishing gone forever for us. Because of the Department of Fisheries trying to make more fish by blasting that canyon out. They didn't help them. I think this world is too overpopulated. Too many people want making a living out of forest. Logging. All the little creeks filled with debris left by the loggers. Not like in the old days where we didn't see much of logging. It's too overpopulated. Everybody out to eat and live. Down the canneries, the commercial fishermen, they make money out of fish. They turn that into cars. Food on the table, bread and butter and stuff, jam and things. They come from fish. Kimber, the same thing. So that's a life malady. Everybody got to work for their living. Hey, we gotta. Oh, see. Turn around, I got an idea. Gotta get in touch with them fishery people, eh?
Yeah.
Time's running short now. Last year we got late. Remember, there you go, Kitzbühel's all over. Nobody wanted to go fishing. Fishing was all over.
What did
Duck
say?
Is
she
going to
splash or what?
Who? He didn't say it, but he says he was hoping.